This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 281 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
You know, I've had an idea.
Right. First time for everything, yeah? Tell me.
See, the season to be jolly or a wally is coming up.
Right? I like that second one.
It's the season to be a wally. Exactly. It's a crazy, busy, stupidly hectic time of year when no one has any time. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
So, I care about our listener. I care so much. I've decided we're going to make today a short podcast.
Right.
Just so we don't take up too much of their time at this busy time of the year.
Excellent idea.
That and the fact that we haven't done any homework this week, we've got nothing to talk about. Tell you what, if it wasn't for people like Carl Hemming and Adam Davidson and Dave Marlin and a few other people who post stuff, we'd have nothing to talk about.
Well, we'd have nothing.
There'd be nothing.
We got nothing without our listeners.
Nothing.
Dear.
That's the way they like
it. We are just the bookends to our listeners' lives.
We're all individuals. So, have you been? Have you had a week?
Mate, I have had a week. And like you, it's just been busy, 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 busy. It just particularly, you know, work, you know, my 40-hour a week job, busy.
Can you do 40 hours? Is that legal? Are they allowed to work you that long?
Yeah, some of us have to do that, mate.
Don't you have a union or something?
No. No.
Sounds like some sort of slave labor. Yeah. What, is that every week?
Yes, mate, every week. Yes. Harsh.
Man, I didn't realize there's slave camps like that still operating in this world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Every single week you work for 40 hours.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least you balance out my lack of work. Between the two of you. We have two part-time jobs between the two.
That's right.
We work a 50-hour week between the two of us, 25 each.
dear.
So you've been busy recording and stuff.
Commercials, yeah.
Commercials.
It's just been crazy. Like this week, this week's been quieter than the last 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks, I made 200 commercials.
Man.
Over 100. Yeah, on average, 100 a week for the last two prior weeks.
So, and let me break this down, because for those people who aren't quite as mathematically adept as yourself, you've made 200 commercials in the 2 weeks, and that's 100 a week.
Yeah.
Okay, just to make it succinct, I don't want to scare people with this throwing these huge numbers around with these strange divisions.
Just so we get it down to smaller numbers, that's about 20 commercials a day.
What?
Yeah.
How many days in the week?
Five.
And how many hours in a day?
Oh, eight.
Eight?
Eight and a bit.
So, taking an hour and a half to do what, a 30-second commercial? Is that what you're saying to me?
No.
What are you doing?
Your maths are screwed. 20 a day.
Oh, 20 a day. I was like, okay. So, you're doing what, every 25 minutes, give or take?
Yeah.
You're doing it's only 30 seconds. What are you doing for that 24 and a half minutes?
There's more to it than most people.
I've done 200 commercials. That's 100 minutes.
of airtime, yes.
2 weeks. Does your bosses know you're charging them for 80 hours and you're producing 3 hours 20 of actual efforts?
Yes, they're quite well aware of it.
Shit. And you reckon I don't work very hard? That's a quarter of what I'm doing.
Mate, if only a 30-second commercial took 30 seconds to produce, that would be awesome.
I'll get some people stuff up the woods, so they have to do it like twice. Yeah. It's only 6 hours 40 for the web for the 2 weeks. I always wanted to do voiceovers. I did a TV commercial once for Pentax years ago.
Really?
It was actually for Sigma SLRs.
Yeah.
And
they never invited you back.
I wanted to do the I was to camera piece,
right?
And then they needed the voiceover at the end. It was on the script for the voiceover.
You were the before guy, weren't you?
look what this lens can do to make this ugly man look good. No, but they have the voiceover part at the end of the script.
Yeah.
And so they're really rapping. I just wanted to do the voiceover bit, so I put the deep voice on. Yes, the Sigma S1 with the Foveon X3 image sensor.
Right.
And they're going, oh, you shouldn't do voiceover work, they said to me. Yeah. should or shouldn't? It was one of the. That's all blurred together. Yeah. That was a bit of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I've got a thing called VHS videotape around here somewhere.
Yeah, right.
It's commercial. Yeah. I should get the damn thing on digital.
I was going to say, you want to do that soon before the tape deteriorates.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Well, I've had an interesting week.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
I did my annual Pets with Santa.
Oh, okay.
Photos for the Australian Animal Protection Society.
And,
right. It was blazing. It was like 34 degrees, so mid-90s, humid.
But you weren't in an air-conditioned shed?
We're in a piece of nature strip by the side of a road.
Oh, okay.
Next to a gutter.
Was that the best location you could find?
Yeah, that's the best of the whole place.
Wow.
This is why they need the money.
Right.
I mean, our backdrop was the fence to the venue.
Right.
Fortunately, my mate Dave Oakley, who I actually do this for, he'd bought on some auction site a little marquee, so we had a little bit of shade. But it was a horrible day, and to be Santa dressed up like that in that sort of weather, just beastly.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But we shot from, I think we opened at, was it 10? I think it was, or 9, and shot through till 1. And we raised $1,400 for the pets.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's something we do every year. This is the third year we've done this for.
Nice work.
It's just kind of nice to give a little something back. You know?
Yeah.
Never worked with kids or animals.
And, yep.
Yeah, the majority dogs. We had 2 cats, one which ripped the living daylights out of one of our assistants and the owner.
Those cats I want to do.
But didn't destroy Santa.
Right.
And one blue-tongued lizard with Santa photo. Yeah. Which is not your most common of pets to bring for a Santa photo, you'd have to say. But
didn't get bitten by that.
No, they're tame little things.
They can be a bit territorial.
Not trying to keep Santa away from his hand. This is my hand. You're not having it back. So that was a bit of fun day.
Cool.
And then Monday I had to do the Ivanhoe Photographic Society.
Yeah.
I was doing their annual photo competition, the end of year, the print of the year awards and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
So that was.
You must have loved that.
Knowing how much I love a good photography competition.
Was there any outstanding photography amongst it?
Okay. Yes. No, there was some outstandingly bad stuff.
Right.
Absolutely. There's one photo of a cockroach.
What?
Okay, but okay, not everything, when anything shot well can be interesting.
Yes.
This, however,
was not interesting.
It was the opposite.
Right.
I mean, it was just basically looking directly above it, looking directly down on it. It filled the frame, I'll give them that. And simply because the thing's in focus and exposed well, does not a photo make.
No.
And this is what you're entering. It's printed, the photo of the year competition.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, but I started up, they had a little lectern sort of thing, which I never use. I like to sort of wander around, but I walked up, and I judged these things like 3 weeks ago, they sent the photos to me like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
So forgotten them all.
Right.
I forgot nude one, and they said, oh, yeah, when what they did is they showed the images in the slideshow first, all the entrants.
Yeah.
And then they'd flash up the winner at the end. And they said, look, as we're showing the entrance, if you could just talk a bit about each photo as they go through, but don't let on, don't give too much emphasis onto the winners. I'm going, don't worry. I
got no idea.
So I've walked up and I've got up to the lectern at and I've gone, judge not, lest ye be judged. Which I thought was a fairly good way to open a judging competition. And had a lot of guests there, had a lot of people who'd done previous judging during the years, and all these other sort of people there,
Right.
And judge not lest ye be judged. And then I got up and I said, everything you're going to hear tonight is a load of bunkum. Everything I'm going to say to you means nothing. your place? What if you've entered a photo in this competition? Who gives a rat's patootie where it comes?
Yeah.
I said, if all you're worried about is if you've come first, second, or 13th, you're doing it for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
And if you've, I said, first up, there's only four people in the room I'm going to please, and it's the four winners of the four categories. The rest are all going to think I did something wrong and picked the wrong one.
Yep.
I said, secondly, yeah, who cares if you win? Because what does that teach you? Nothing.
Yep.
If you learnt something from the process about what other people submitted and how other people saw the world, and you went and had engaged in discussion with those people who submitted and talked to them about their images rather than your own, and found out their perspective and their viewpoints, maybe you've got some value out of this competition. Otherwise, it was a waste of your time and mine.
Oh, wow.
I like to start off in a soft and build. But it's true.
So you're hoping that they're not going to invite you back next year?
And because I did one of my talks at their club a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And it's the same thing. Yeah, it starts off with everything I'm about to say tonight is a load of crap. Yeah, I like to maintain a consistency in all my
public speaking.
I said basically everything I'm about to say that night and everything I'm saying about your photos tonight is just an opinion, and like holes, everyone's got one. Right. Yeah, I mean, who died and made me the king of photography?
Yeah.
You know, who's to say? And then when it came to the winner of, so they had a B grade and an A grade. B grade projected, B grade printed. Well, I don't see what the bloody difference is personally.
Right.
I don't care if it's on a screen or if it's on a piece of paper. To me, it doesn't. Wow, it's been printed. It's a real photo now.
Yeah.
No. So that's kind of the superfluous categories, if you ask me. And then there's A grade printed and projected. And when it came to A grade, the winner, well, I picked the winner,
yeah.
Of course. And everyone said, oh, wow. And I've gone, yeah, so, but I don't like this shot. So I picked it. But I said, it was Henri Cartier-Bresson, I said to them. He said, shooting, it was about the decisive moment. And let's have a look at this photograph. It was this photograph of, obviously this guy had been on some safari, some tour somewhere up in the Himalayas or something.
Okay.
And this is character guy with a wool coat on sort of thing and a reasonably interesting face, beautiful autumn colours behind, holding a huge eagle on his arm.
Oh, hang on! You talked about this last week,
did I? Yeah. But the guy's talking.
Yeah.
And the winner of the music is always talking to the bird. Is it? And I'm supposed to know that? And if I did know that, would it make a difference?
Yeah.
There's no intensity in the face. There's no injury. I said it won because it was succinctly shot. There's no wasted space. The colors are good. The light is good. But the shots, yeah. It's lost. It's got a lot of stuff that's just – and funnily enough, I didn't realize there was another photograph of the same bird and the same person holding it taken by somebody else. It was obviously a group who went. But this is either a few minutes before or from a completely different angle, and he's got like this wooden hut behind him.
Right.
And the hut ruins the shot. It doesn't make it very interesting.
Oh, okay.
But in this one, he's got a great expression on his face. And they were just putting this slideshow. I'm going, see, that's what I mean.
Yeah. That. Yeah,
I said, you have to ask yourself, you've taken the shot, but did you capture the moment?
Right.
Strongest possible moment of that man with his bird on this hillside. Yeah, yeah, you've caught a moment, but is it an interesting one? And I said, why in the hell would you put a photo of the cockroach into the woman? She told it. I would have been chatting, having a laugh about it before I got up and talked.
Hmm.
So I knew I could be fairly evil about it.
Yeah.
And I said, and some person put a bloody photo of a cockroach in. I mean, really? It's not even an interesting one. And everyone's laughing, and she's laughing because she knows it's all about her, you know. And it's like, yeah, if the photo doesn't speak to you, don't bloody submit it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you've got...
So
if
what you was her reason for submitting it?
Oh, well, it was in...
Because it was the best image she took all year?
When she had to think about it, she goes, oh, yeah, I guess it, just because it was in focus and... She's probably love macro work. I said, yeah, I love macro work too, but that's just a close-up shot of a bug. It's not even interesting. I love macro work. I love, you know, fascinating, amazing. Get down to change angles. Imagine if you're looking eye to eye with that cockroach.
Yeah, that'd be something else.
People would feel something. They'd feel revulsion when they saw it. you know? Yeah. Here's the go-off cockroach.
Yeah. People just want to stamp on your photo.
No, exactly. no reaction whatsoever. Really, when you look at the photo, it doesn't emote anything to you.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, it was a fun night. Yeah, like cool. I got to stand up and lord and wax lyrical about that stuff. I hadn't promised had to make giving up on the spot because which is kind of tough. You had to go all through these photos. You don't know what's coming next.
Yeah.
You don't really remember them. You don't know which one won. You've got to say something to an audience of 80 or 100 people. That sounds logical and interesting as to why it's up there in the first place.
Yeah, right.
But there was one major benefit of going there.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the place to start. I like to get everywhere early.
Yeah? Right.
I'm the sort of person that would be at least an hour early to everywhere I go. In this case, I was an hour and a half early.
Okay.
So I'm early, I'm sitting there, and there's a few people wandering in. And this group come in of probably average age for the photo society, 75. Right. I'm putting early 60s. It's got this group, and they had this guy there with his face. I happened to take my camera gear just in case.
Yeah,
because knowing they're mostly an old club, there might be a good old face. And I've got to photograph this guy's face. So I walked up and introduced myself, and his name's Peter. And I said, "Can I drag you to the door and take some photos?" And he let me in. And my God, he's just a killer face. He reminds me of like a Gold Rush priest, right. Penguine.
Yeah,
that's a lot of religious type. Yeah, he reminds me very much of the fettuccine. And it just had this beard and this hair, and it's just this classic sort of face. And he had a black shirt on that was buttoned up, and it was buttoned to the very top button.
Yeah, with no tie.
Yeah, it just sort of added to the overall effect as well. And he was just made my whole night. Yeah, because I haven't had a chance to shoot anyone with a bit of character for a while, and so I was rather chuffed.
I was going to post a comment on that under that photo saying,
"Oh, you saw it?"
Or a coal miner dressed in his Sunday best.
Exactly. It didn't have a quick face. Yeah. That look was just spot on. So rather delighted with him.
Cool. All right. Well, we heard from David Marland through the week.
Did you?
Yes. Well, you did as well.
Oh, yeah.
He sent an email.
No, I don't read stuff.
Well, given that you didn't read it, I'll read it out to you. Hi, Bruce and Glenn. This link seems to be doing the rounds. It shows, to music and the occasionally badly written captions, a number of 19th century, beginning with the American Civil War, and early 20th century photographs that have been colorized, many of them quite skillfully. To a large extent, these clear, unscratched color photos bring that era to life in a rather compelling way. In many cases, I think the color brings you closer to the era instead of being some distant, half-faded image. The look in the eyes of French refugees or the youth of Manfred von Richthofen and the weariness of Abraham Lincoln. Does the color, done well, improve, detract, or add another dimension? Does the Nazi ceremony look chillingly more real? Best regards, David Marland. Did you get a chance to look at the video?
Obviously, the email. I didn't read the video.
So there's this. It's on liveleak.com, and it was really. Some of the photos were really good, and I thought as David said, the colouring that has been done was really quite skillful.
The scary thing about like colourising Hitler's type of stuff, is it takes it from history and brings it more current.
But is that a bad thing?
Well, it's more confronting.
It's a thing.
Because it's more confronting because it's within our period of time, our visual reality of the world. We don't look at these old, you look at these old photos from the 1860s. They're just not our world. They're like an alien landscape. Yeah, we can never picture that. But something that was only 50 or 60 years ago, whilst it remains in the old scratchy black and white, it remains in the past.
Right.
But when it becomes colour, it becomes a little bit more closer to our time frame. And to me, that makes it a bit more confronting, a little bit more real.
Yeah.
Not something that you can easily dismiss to, oh, that was such a long time ago,
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to look at that.
I quite enjoyed it. I didn't get all the way through it. I got about halfway through it, and I do want to watch the rest of it. But, yeah, the ones that I saw looked really good.
How long did it go for?
That's about 9 minutes, I think, all up.
Sure, you committed the full 4.5.
Well, it was this morning, and I had to leave work.
When you used to work it in 30-second increments, 9 minutes is a long period of time.
It's a day's work. Get off my case.
Dear.
Now, the Pass the Camera project.
Yes.
We've
Pass
got.
The Dutchie.
Yes, that's right. We've got about, I think it's 19 people, including you and I.
Excellent.
So
we make almost a full person between the two of us.
Almost, so. Yeah. So I've got the camera, and
I got the camera.
Yes, I got the camera.
What'd you get?
Oh, I don't know. It's just some cheap piece of crap.
You're gonna wax lyrical about it. Yeah, she's got the 35mm 2.8 lens.
Well, no, because you told me to go and get a disposable. You told me to get a disposable, so I did. No.
Yeah, but we still should. Yeah, should. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's got 36 exposure film in it.
Wow.
And it's in a waterproof housing.
Oh, that's what brand is it?
I don't know. I don't
even know what brand of film it is.
No idea.
Oh.
So.
What brand's the camera?
I don't know. And I went to take the first image.
Uh-oh.
And I initially wound the thing the wrong way. Right. And, like, just by two clicks. And then I realized that I was going the wrong way. And so I wound it the right way. Mm-hmm. And it says, wind it till it clicks and then take your shot. Well, unlike all the, you know, the early cameras that I used, which had film that you had to manually wind, where you would wind them and they would actually stop, this thing just seems to keep winding. So I don't know how many times you're meant to wind it on before you take your image. I don't know if you're supposed to just wind it one click and then just press the button, or whether I've unspooled the film or what.
Yeah. Sounds like it. But even a lot of cameras, even if you unspooled the film, would still wind its predetermined amount and then stop.
Well, that's what I would have thought.
No film loaded.
That's what I'd have thought.
So what you're saying is I should go out and buy a real fake camera, not trust you to do it.
If you wanted, yeah, absolutely.
If we leave you to the very end,
yep,
everything else has worked.
That's exactly
right.
I like the idea
of the weatherproof one. That's a good idea.
Yeah, well, this thing is waterproof to 3 meters, so it means you could at least go for a bit of a snorkel with it.
Like it.
So yeah, I thought, well, that's a little bit interesting.
I like it. It opens up even more opportunities for people to shoot.
Yeah.
They're, and they won't be scared about risking the expensive camera down near the water or anything now.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Do you want to go and grab a camera?
Not to try and, I don't know even where I can even find it. A, the time. You'd better find one.
Yeah, well,
Take it back. Don't tell me you're wearing it backward. Take it back and say, look, this doesn't stop winding. Is this right? I think it's broken. I need a new one.
I could do that. I've still got the receipt.
So this doesn't stop.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Try that first.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're nothing if not cheap with this podcast.
That's right.
Hey, we'll do the podcast for free, dude. You know, we've got to save money somewhere.
You know, I should just go to a pawn shop and pick up a second hand. P-A-W-N. And just pick up a second hand camera. Yeah, one that you'd manually wind. And we should just send that around the world.
Do that.
Don't buy
a heavy one.
Oh, no, exactly.
Dear.
Maybe I'll do that.
Go to a pawn shop and see what kind of camera you can buy.
Yeah. Go to a cash converter. There's got to be something around.
Got to be some $10 piece of plastic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, so bear with us, people. We'll get this project happening eventually. Yeah,
I think it's a 2015 project.
It's starting to look that way, isn't it?
Right, yeah. December.
Dear. So, Carl Hemmings posted something on Facebook this afternoon, which was a link to a video podcast interview with the guy from Mileo.
A video podcast?
Yes.
That's high technology, isn't it?
Yeah, some people call
if
it...
we weren't so ugly, we could do something like
we
that.
We could. Some people call it a vidcast. Some people call it a vodcast. Some people call it a... Because V for video and oddcast from podcast.
I get it.
Yeah.
That's where that comes from.
You're sharp, aren't you? You're sharp.
Oh, don't worry.
Sharp like a spoon. So anyway, yeah, that's pretty much all that I had.
No, Mario. So you
Mario. Yeah. So Mario, we were talking about Mario last week. It's this new sort of service that allows you to synchronize your database of image processing across multiple devices on iOS and Android. But Carl, you posted it this afternoon. I haven't had a chance to look at the video yet. I will do so.
You'll give it the full 4.5 minutes.
I will. Absolutely. So, we'll get there.
Well, I've got a couple of things.
What do you got?
Well, on Black Friday, just recently gone.
Yeah.
David Duchemin, he should be on this podcast. We talk about him that often. He did, as I suspected, discount his new video series.
Right.
It was down to only $25 Canadian.
Right.
But how's this for a bargain? He could have bought this year's and last year's $40 Canadian, which is like $35 Australian.
That's half what I paid for last year's season.
It's 26 hours of video. For $35,
it's crazy.
It's like $1.25 an hour.
Yeah.
So I've watched none of it. I've watched about 3 minutes of one, and it's the last one of the whole 2 day thing. And I was curious to watch it because it was called the title of the video is called Towards Mastery.
Right.
And I've got a big problem with mastery in photography. Yeah. Right. People call I'm a master of photography. They're getting I hate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just absolute bollocks.
Because photography is a subjective art form?
No, because you can never friggin' master it.
Right. Okay.
Can you master martial arts?
Maybe.
Anyway, there's no such thing as a master. So it concerned me that someone who I like the way he thinks was going on, but then within the first 30 seconds, he goes, I don't believe in my. The master. So you felt
vindicated and stopped watching.
So I stopped the video. But you start talking more about being a photography or the journey through photography is more of a pilgrimage,
right?
Than an act of trying to master something,
right?
And a pilgrimage is the journey,
yeah,
which changes you and adapts you and makes you who you are by the time you end, not the simply getting to the place,
right?
Yeah, which is true. Yeah, well, I believe to be true. And he talked about this. I think it was Ethiopian tribe, a group of Ethiopian guys who spend 9 months pilgrimage to this holy little site in northern Ethiopia. Yeah. So they spend 9 months to get there.
What are they crawling on hands and knees?
They spend like a day there, and then they spend 3 months going back home by a different route. So it takes them a year, and when they get home, they start again.
So they don't do any work. They're just bunch of bludgers.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're probably begging or something, play music in the streets or something. But if the point of a pilgrimage was to get to the place, why would they leave and start all over again?
Yeah,
because the journey is where you learn.
Yeah.
We should give them
a job painting the Harbour Bridge.
Well, it's the same. Wax on, wax off. It's all coming.
Well, they get to one end of the bridge and they go back to the other end. They start again. It's a full time job painting the Harbour Bridge.
I know. Well, he came up with this thing which I heard years ago and I'd forgotten.
Right.
And it made sense to me then, and I don't know why I forgot it because it's something I should sort of keep as a teaching. Which I think so. It's about the art of learning anything that requires a certain amount of skill, but it certainly is perfect for photography. And he says there's four stages of learning in photography.
Okay.
Okay. Unconscious incompetence. Right? Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Conscious incompetence. That's the beginning stages. First up, you pick up a camera, start, and you have no idea what you don't know.
Yep. Oh, this is the Rumsfeldian approach.
It is the Rumsfeldian.
We don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
Then we move to we know that we don't know.
Then we move to then we know that we don't know. Then we go to conscious competence, which is we know what we know.
Right.
But the goal, and as it should be, is to unknow what you know. as an unconscious competence.
Yeah.
So you do it without thinking.
Yeah, it just becomes automatic.
It becomes instinctive. I get that way with composition. I don't know why I compose photographs the way I do until someone asks me to explain why I composed it the way I did.
Yeah.
And suddenly I have to pull it apart with someone. Do you realize what you do?
Right.
Yeah. And that to me is unconscious competence. You know, right. You do without thinking.
Yep.
But before that stage, you knew what you liked and you thought about it. And so you did it whilst thinking about it. That was the conscious competence.
Yeah. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. But a lot of people, that I teach, I think are in that conscious incompetence, bordering on the conscious competence. They're sort of hovering between they're getting better.
Yeah.
But there's still that vast, vast expanse to learn still, you know?
Right.
And I think that's why you can never master something because,
there's always more stuff to learn.
Yeah, in a field as broad as ours as well.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to want to keep up with everything. So that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he pulled up this other quote, which I should have pulled up, which was great. Can't remember who wrote it. But it was basically about, stop bitching about needing new gear and a new lens and new this and new that and don't get hooked up into technology and all this sort of stuff. And it was written in like 1931.
Oh, wow.
And it's changed. Nothing's changed.
Nice.
We're still following the same foolhardy path.
Yeah.
Learn the stuff you got.
Yeah.
Don't jump to the next thing just because.
Yep.
Then I got another little thing. I came across an advent calendar since it's coming up to Christmas.
Right.
But it's from the Hubble Space Telescope. Apparently it's a thing.
Wow.
Every year the Hubble Space Telescope does an advent calendar.
Which is the irony.
I know. It's just like, that's just too funny. And today's image was just spectacular. So I thought that's
pretty lucky
for people who love the astrology like I do.
Boom, boom.
See, that one slipped through the keyboard or not. And then, you know what? Yeah. I've done two lists.
Oh, yeah?
I've done a top five Christmas gifts you don't want.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Because it's that time of year, and I thought, people are going to be out there, they're going to be having stuff bought for them, in photography.
Yeah.
So, in no particular order. Number one, what you don't want someone to give you for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
a book on photography.
Yep.
Number two, a lens.
Yep.
Number three, a flash.
Yep.
Number four, a camera bag.
Yep.
Number five, a tripod.
Yep.
Don't give me any of those. Because the book you're going to buy me is nothing I'm even remotely interested in. I collect rare fishing books.
Right.
I know.
Yeah.
You didn't think you'd think any higher of me until you heard that, and now all of a sudden I've got of nerdiness. I collect rare antique fishing books, and my parents always buy me these really bad how-to-fish books.
Like a dummy's guide to fishing.
This is how you tie a book onto a line. Yeah, I've got books back in the 1690s. I've got incredibly rare, beautiful leather-bound, gorgeous, classic tomes, and they're buying me how to tie a hook onto a line for 30 years. You don't want someone to buy you a book because, you got to pretend you like it.
Yeah.
And unless these people really, really know you and are really, really, there's no chance they're going to buy something you want.
No.
Same goes for a lens.
Yeah.
It's the lens you might have wanted 4 months ago, but you've since found three of the better.
Yeah.
Then that you haven't, but maybe they heard you mentioning that lens that you were 3 months ago, you were really all hot for, but now you've had 47 forums, 15 product reviews, and 12 bloody lab tests.
And decided it's not all that good.
Yeah, and now you've got that one. That's good. A flash, well, it's not going to be for your camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got a Nikon, you get a Canon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Camera bag, it won't fit your gear.
Yeah.
A tripod. How flimsy that sucker going to be?
Yeah.
It's going to have no...
Camera bags are a bit like handbags for chicks. It's a very personal choice.
You just can't.
Yeah.
So then I came up with the top one Christmas gift you do want.
Oh, yeah?
It's the cash for the above five.
Yeah.
Just give me the loot, people. Just give me... In folding, don't give me a gift voucher because I want to shop around.
Yeah.
Give me folding.
Yeah.
Lots of it. higher the denomination, the better. Just give me the crispy stuff. And then you go and buy the damn thing you want.
Yeah.
Perfect Christmas gift.
Absolutely.
There you are. We should do it. So just leave that little list laying around somewhere for somebody and see what happens. Now, I came across, speaking of flash guns,
yeah,
vague segue into that, yeah. I came across a flash gun today that's Kickstartering at the moment,
yeah,
where it comes out with a 1/2 millionth of a second flash sync speed.
What? How do they get it that short?
Well, here's the problem. My cam only goes up to 8,000th. And this is at 2 millionth. What am I going to do?
I'm not even going to respond to that. I want to know how they get the burst that short.
1/2. Well, they go like that. Just put a little bit of light out for a little period of time.
But what's generating the light? Are they LED?
Yeah, they are LEDs.
And can you actually get them to switch on and switch off that quickly?
Yep. They've been doing some tests with it. Apparently, there's a new trigger trap coming.
Right.
And the guy who's inventing has been working with this guy who's got this thing,
yeah,
and shooting with it. Well, no, sorry, shooting, because they've been shooting.
Sat there with a stopwatch and they've timed it.
No, but they've been doing bullet time stuff. Yeah, you know, shooting things and stopping bullets.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, 1/2 millionth of a second.
That is insane.
It's called a Vela, V-E-L-A.
Yeah, right.
But once it's said, remember, we go back. We should do, just whilst I think about it.
Mm.
Maybe next week we should make our last podcast of the year.
Okay.
And it's your job this week, in between the 30 seconds of work you're doing,
mm,
to reflectively find all the stuff we talked about through the year that was valid and useful. That's another 30 seconds gone. And now we can have a little bit of a reflect back on the year.
No, I haven't got time for that.
No, let's not do that. I did mention earlier in the year when our man Richard Clark asked, how do you think digital has changed photography? And I said, it hasn't.
Right.
But it's gonna.
Yep.
Well, here we are. Another example of 2/1,000,000th of a second, opening new realms and new possibilities and just wow, you know, wow. And then I was delighted to come across this.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. Canon 7D2, Mark II.
Right.
Well, I came across some photographs of some swirly lines that they've done.
Right.
And then they've got comparisons of other cameras who also shot the swirly lines.
Yeah.
And you get to compare them.
Wow.
And those lovely
Canon's swirly lines are more swirly than everybody else's.
Well, the more defined swirliness than any other swirliness you're possibly going to come across. You know, right. I'm glad they're doing these sort of scientific tests out there and photographing. Yeah. I saw Canon 7D2 lab tests, something else, or studio tests. Here we go, studio lab tests. Oh, fabulous. They're doing some great stuff in the studio. They're photographing charts.
Right.
And magnifying swirly lines. And
right. Comparing. Where's the swirly lines? The round circles?
Yeah, the little vortexy swirl. What's the point of all that?
Right. Oh, I thought you were going to show me images of, like, smoke swirls or something.
No.
Right.
It's literally, this swirly line has 0.37962 microns of extra swirl.
Okay. Well, look, at the risk of actually providing something useful to the listeners.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Don't start now.
I'm going out on a limb. It's the second last of the penultimate episode for the year. I think I can go out on a limb and offer some constructive advice for our listeners.
Don't waste your time looking at that.
Don't bother going to that link.
But this is what photography has come down to in these deep review sites or DP reviewers. It's staring at bloody pictures of charts and swirly lines. And I can't say enough.
They're not even good swirly lines.
People who rely on this stuff to make choices,
yeah,
go and look at their real world photos and how poor and pathetic they are.
Yeah.
Why would you trust someone who can't take a photo to tell you which camera to buy?
Yeah.
Graceful. I've got one last thing.
Yep.
Okay, and I love this. This is yeah, Magnum. You know Magnum, the PI.
The ice cream.
Oh, that one too. Yeah. No, Magnum the magazine.
Oh, okay. Yep.
put another of these great. This is website which I've got to spend more time looking at.
The Literate Lens.
The Literate Lens, which sounds interesting, but they've got all these classic, some of these classic photos of that we all recognise.
Yeah,
and they've shown where the guy in the dark rooms is drawn on the original print, saying, "Okay, I'm going to lighten this, dodge and burn that," and showing how he's worked the photo to make the image that we're familiar with.
Wow.
Yeah, we're talking about, the film, the days, there was none of that lying and cheating and stuff. It was all true dinkum. That just shows just how much work was done to make what were more average. Yeah, we look at these photographs, how did they do that? Well, they didn't. The guy in the lab did.
Yeah.
You know, they did a reasonable shot, and this guy's tweaked it to the image that we know, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, why can't I ever take photos like that? Well, because he didn't either.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just great to see that sort of stuff, and and be brought closer to your gods if you have if you look at other photographers and go, I wish I could shoot. Oh, why can't I take photos like that? Well, they can't take photos like that either.
Yeah,
and I think it's a really important thing to keep reminding ourselves, because we are our own worst critics. We have to beat ourselves up about how our work is nowhere near as good as everyone else's.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
I wish I could decipher all of the stuff that's written on these photos. I wish I understood.
I know. Isn't it fascinating?
You'd just love to know what was going through the mind of the developer. Yeah. The guy.
Fascinating stuff. So, don't go to the other one.
Definitely check this one out.
Definitely worth having a look. So, let's finish off with some instructive criticism, Joe. You thought you got away with
it. Oh, no, I knew you'd get to it eventually.
And so you went out. How'd your shoot go?
Mate, we enjoyed ourselves. I don't care what you say. We enjoyed ourselves.
That's all that matters.
Exactly.
You're not there to take good photographs. You'd stand there to have a good
Yeah. What?
So let's talk about them a bit. I think you should put the link in the podcast.
Okay.
You know, it's the time of year. People are stressed. They need a laugh.
People, they're in my photos. Look for my personal profile on Facebook and they're in there.
I'm thinking color temperature, orange gel and tungsten white balance. Yes.
Yep. Actually, it was a manual white balance. It wasn't a preset.
This is what I was coming to. I'm trying to think, why is everything so orange?
Mm.
Why is everything so orange?
Mm.
It doesn't look real. It looks horrible.
Right.
She's a pasty girl.
She's what?
She's pasty. She's a pasty white girl who's gone orange.
Right.
She's in my screen.
In the first couple?
Yeah. Yeah. I was on the railway line.
Yeah.
She's orange.
Yeah.
What was your thought process?
That I was trying to, get that sky bluer and moodier.
Oh, sky's great.
Yeah.
Sky's cool.
Yeah. And when it came to processing, I couldn't get the eyedropper to kind of, in Lightroom, to balance her skin tone the way I imagined it.
Yeah.
And so I had to go with a custom white balance, dragging the sliders to try and get it as close to what I thought it should have been like.
Yeah. So that'd make a lovely black and white photo.
Okay.
No, that's what I do with it, but I can't get that right. let's make it a nice black and white. Right. So okay, then she's staring at you down the line.
Yep.
Why'd you choose that position for your flash?
Don't know.
So it's pretty much direct on.
Yeah.
So you've got an off-camera flash and put the flash about a foot away from me, by the looks of it.
Away from me?
Yeah, to your right.
I was shooting from beside the softbox, yeah.
Yeah, you should have just left the flash on the camera too. Well, really, what's the point of going off-camera and standing next to it?
Well, got it a foot away from where it would have been if it was on the camera.
So, what I see is what you've tried to achieve in the shot is some mood and drama.
Yeah.
And you've achieved that with the sky.
Right.
But by having no shadow and no mood lighting on her, you've taken away. So you needed the flash far more of an axis away from you, which would have given you a much bolder flash, a much stronger shadow lines, and would have made the photo have a real pop, a real strength to it, which is lacking because it's soft.
So where would you have put the light? Round to the right?
So let's say you're standing at 6 o'clock.
Mm.
I would have gone at least 8, 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Moved it to the left.
Or you could have gone, yeah. I always go to the left. It's just what I do.
Right.
You could have gone at 3:30.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe even 3:47. The last train. I just think you need more shadow. You just need a little bit more strength.
Right.
And then that one of it looking down the train. I won't talk about that one.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And then the next one along.
Yep.
So you moved the flash offside. See how the flash, yep. I mean, the exposure's wrong, but.
Yeah.
But so all of a sudden your light shadow play is more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got a tree coming out of the head.
Okay.
Nothing like live critique, eh?
No, absolutely.
We won't talk about the next one. We won't talk about the next one. We won't talk about the next one. We won't talk about the next one.
You didn't like any of them, right?
No. I actually saw on Facebook, I liked one of them.
Yeah, the last one.
Was it? There you go.
Yeah.
You got there in the end. so what you're saying, Glenn, is this is the one you hated the least.
So I was pretty much on the money.
Oh, that's the best laugh I've had in weeks. So you've done something. You've brought the flash well around. Your flash is like about 1 o'clock. I'm looking at that. I'm thinking.
No.
Where is it?
No. The flash is about 2.5-3 feet above her head.
Yeah, it's not straight down.
But further back behind her. So it's hitting her at maybe a 60-70 degree angle. Like, so it's not directly above her.
Okay,
like,
so
it's slightly over. Behind and above.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But yes, you're right. There was a side fill as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, we had two flashes.
It's coming down. So it's a nice shot.
Thank you.
I just think it now. That shadow of the nose, though, it just... See how the light coming up... No, but see how the light coming up is throwing that really weird-shaped shadow of nose?
Okay.
It turns the nose into like a square.
Right.
Can you see it?
Yep.
So all of a sudden that shadow becomes like a big square. It's good to talk about this stuff, Bruce. It's therapy for me.
Yep. Makes you feel better about your own photography. Yeah.
All the help we can get. The listeners can go look and go, oh, I didn't see that. Because that stuff people miss is that little thing of the shadow.
Right.
Your background's much more interesting in these shots too.
Right.
You know, that depth going away and the less obvious structure and stuff.
Yeah.
And the other one, when you look all the way down the fence the other direction, the building's kind of cool too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those ones just have a little bit more interest. But the problem is they're probably more my taste in photos as well, which is...
Yeah.
Always puts a bias anyway.
Sure.
You know, as I said to the camera club the other day, you know, I'm a portrait shooter. I don't really like landscapes. And half your photos up here are landscapes.
Right.
Doesn't bode well, does it? But still, it's good to get out and shoot, isn't it?
It was. It was nice.
And a funny model to show up, which is a bit of a bone.
Yes. Yeah. I shot with Julie about 4.5 years ago.
Yeah, or something about that on your podcast, on your page or something, yeah.
Yeah, and she reached out to me probably... 10 or 12 months ago and said, you know, I'm keen to get back into it and if you've got anything, you know, I'd love to be involved. And after we had, you know, all these dramas over the previous couple of weeks of trying to organize a model, I thought, oh, what the hell, I'll give her a call or dropped her a message on Facebook actually and said, look, this is what I'm thinking. Nothing super duper, just me and a mate. We want to get out and dust the cobwebs off. He's got a camera that I'm interested in having to play with and... and so she was quite happy to come along and model for us.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was good.
I'd like to do the same myself, just to get out and take some photos just for the...
For
the fun of it, yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but with this house remodeling going on, my time for the next few months is sparse.
Right.
I think the new hot water service put in yesterday, it's fabulous. You can dial up with a remote control the exact temperature you want.
Oh, nice.
The missus likes to shower at 53 degrees. Beep, beep.
Yeah.
That's all that comes out of the tap.
Yeah, right.
So happy. Yeah, I like mine at about 12 degrees. Hence, we never shower together.
That's going to be awesome until the day it breaks. and you dial in the temperature and jump in and go, ah!
I told you, but it works. Well, we managed to wrap it on for 50 minutes anyway.
Yeah.
45 minutes or so.
Like I said, we always do.
I'd like to apologise now for wasting 15 or so minutes of your time that we said we would give you this week, people. That's Bruce's fault.
Of course.
He talks, he goes on and on and on and on, doesn't shut up.
Dude.
All about me.
Now, the one thing we didn't get to was Adam's top 10 Instagram locations. What?
Yeah, it's only Adam.
The top 10 most Instagrammed locations of 2014.
Yes.
Number 10, the Dubai Mall, Dubai.
Yes.
Number 9, Yankee Stadium.
Strange.
Number 8, Madison Square Garden.
Understandable. Mm, oh, yeah. Not really, no.
Well, just in that I suppose they have lots of sporting events in there and concerts. Still.
Yeah, the Eiffel Tower's not in this list.
Yeah, I know. That's weird.
Leaning Tower of Pizza.
7, Red Square, Moscow.
Big Ben. London.
Yeah.
Does Tom, Dick and Larry take a photo of that?
Yeah, but do they Instagram it?
Yeah, good point.
Oh, people go, the Louvre.
Louvre.
The Louvre. Gorky Park, really?
If you Instagram Louvre, it's surely Big Ben. Yeah.
But Gorky Park, what's the attraction at Gorky Park?
What's with the Ruskies?
I don't know. Number 4, the Siam Paragon Shopping Mall in Bangkok.
Yes.
They're obviously shy on for entertainment in Bangkok. Number 3,
some
Times
great restaurants and everyone takes photos of their food.
Yeah, exactly. Number 3, Times Square. That I kind of understand.
Yeah. You think of nothing else at New Year's Eve, there's a million people.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a bunch of them are going to be
Instagramming
straight away.
Number 2, Dodger Stadium. Really?
Yeah, I don't understand how that's possible.
No. As we were saying before we started recording, the only thing I can put it down to is World Series baseball, you know, you've got a stadium full of people and they're all taking selfies and Instagramming them to say that they're at the World Series baseball. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, but...
But really? Number 2 on the list of the top 10 most Instagrammed images?
The freaking pyramids!
Yeah!
There's a few people go, well, used to. Probably not as many these days. But
I would have thought Sydney Opera House might have made the top 10.
I don't know if we've got enough tourism.
Maybe.
Compared to somewhere like London, yeah.
Number 1 was probably the only one that I could really understand, that I could go, yep, that makes sense.
What was that?
Disneyland.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I can understand that.
Yeah, because it is a very photogenic place.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
You want to take your photos with your Mickey, with your Donald, your Goofy.
That's it.
Yeah, and the rest of your family.
That's right. Yes, anyway, very interesting list. All right, mate. Well, good to talk to you again.
It was wonderful talking to you. I've got a lovely flash workshop coming up this weekend, which I'm looking forward to. So
excellent.
It's going to rain, which is great.
Right.
I like a good bit of moody cloud.
Yep.
And so there's a chance that's going to happen. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good. And I'm shooting with the girl I shot the studio workshop with a couple of weeks ago. It's only the second time. And she's great. So I'm looking forward to doing something different with her.
Oh,
so
cool.
Should be fun.
Excellent. Well, enjoy.
I will. And you have a lovely bunch of 30 seconds over the next week.
Yes, mate, we'll do. And then next week will be the last episode for the year.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yep.
Actually, next week? What date's that?
Next Thursday's a no-go.
Really?
Yeah.
We can do early. I can do Tuesday.
Probably. Okay. Well, let's do that. We'll record Tuesday night.
And that's going to be – we could do this off-air, of course, but this at least fleshes out the length of the podcast for a couple more minutes. And we're going to make it a birthday party celebration one.
Oh, are we?
This is going to be my birthday in a couple of weeks. It's the last chance you'll all have to. So I want everyone emailing during the week and messaging during the week and birthday wishes for us to read out on air.
Yeah, but you need to get them to me before Tuesday night.
Yes.
So it'll only be the early adopters who listen to the podcast.
So it's an important one.
Yeah, it's what?
The big 5-0.
Oh, really?
So, yes, you've got to send some heartfelt, in other words, take the piss out of me, I expect a David Frog Clark picture postcard.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to feel special. So there you are.
Excellent.
There you are, constant listener.
Yes. That's awesome. All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
Will do, mate. Take care, everybody. And I'll
talk to you Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.
Shutterzing, another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shutterzingpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email thevoice@shutterzingpodcast.com.